How about a roll call?
Blythe, Cathedral City.
Here.
Coachella.
Here.
Desert Hot Springs. Indian Wells.
Here.
Indio. La Quinta.
Here.
Palm Desert.
Here.
Palm Springs.
Here.
Rancho Mirage. Riverside County. Al Caliente.
Here.
We have a forum.
Are there any public comments? How about technical advisory committee comments?
A member from Desert Hot Springs is in the room.
Yes.
Do you have any advisory committee comments? How about executive director comments?
Only to note that your chairman couldn't make it because of budget time in Riverside County. Feel for him. It's much more challenging than all of us year to year. And your vice chair couldn't be here because, of course, the officer who died in Indio of natural causes, but far too young. So he's at her services.
Thank you. Do you want to pull anything on the consent calendar? Any questions? Is there a motion for approval?
I'll move.
Second.
Second by La Quinta. Real good. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous approval. So the first item is a resolution number 18001 adopting CBAG's budget, salary schedule, and allocated positions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Presented for your approval is CBAG's budget for fiscal year 2018-2019. Special thanks to the budget subcommittee, Bill Patterson, Chuck Maiden, and Isaiah Hagerman for their time and input on the budget. The budget subcommittee reviewed the proposed budget with staff on May 30th and was satisfied with the proposed budget. The draft budget was presented to the executive committee on June 4th for their review. Aside from the comment from Mayor Henry, which has been incorporated into the budget document, staff has not received any other questions, comments, or suggestions on the budget since then. Staff hereby recommends that the technical advisory committee recommend that the executive committee approve, the technical advisory committee approves resolution number 18001, adopting CBAG's fiscal year 18-19 budget, salary schedule, and allocated positions. Staff would be happy to answer any questions.
What were Mayor Henry's comments?
Oh, he just needed the word total in the budget summary, but no changes to the budget numbers.
Bill, do you have anything to add?
No, we went through it, the three of us, and we're ready to adopt.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
I think, John, you beat her.
I don't know.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So the budget, salary schedule, and allocated positions approved unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you. Funding match for ATP Cycle 4 projects.
Chair, thank you, members of the committee. This item is actually a follow-up from some of the conversations we've been having at recent meetings about the state's active transportation program. You'll recall that in April, the executive committee approved a contract amendment with ALTA that included some application support for two projects. The first is in the city of Desert Hot Springs, which is an extension to the CD Link. We're working with the city to finalize the route. And the second is the Arts and Music Line in Avenue 48. And that's the one that Tom highlighted at the executive committee meeting. This is the project with the cities of Coachella, Coachella, Indio, and La Quinta. This is including lights and sound. It's an interactive pathway. We will expect it to connect to the festival grounds, the Bear Creek Trail, and over to Spotted 29. So our region has done very well in previous cycles. This is a competitive program, and they're expecting even more projects this year because there's more funds available. And for the first time, projects will have to fill out different ATP applications based on their size. So we expect that both of these projects will fall into the large category, which will exceed $7 million in total project costs. So applications are scored on a 100-point scale. Every point counts. And for those cities who have been through this before, you'll recall that even half a point can make the difference for millions of dollars. Having a match does give you a competitive advantage in this cycle. As part of the new project applications, you can get an automatic 5 points if you can cover at least 20% of the ATP eligible costs. And this can also factor into the project's cost effectiveness score, which is another 5 points. CVAC staff is recommending that we take a funding approach that was proven so successful with the funding of CVLink, and that's make a relatively small financial investment locally in order to incentivize a far larger commitment to state funding. Because we're finalizing both of these project routes, we're still determining exactly what our total cost would be and how much local funds would be needed to maximize these points. Staff is recommending that we commit at least 20% of each total project cost locally. And as with regional projects, our TPPS, CVAC staff is recommending that the leverage is provided in the same 75-25 percentage split. And because Avenue 48, in particular, crosses multiple jurisdictions, that city share would be split among the jurisdictions. As part of our staff recommendation and in the staff report, you'll see that we are suggesting that we use funding that's already been committed along both these routes. We'll talk about Desert Hot Springs first. Oh, I'm sorry, Avenue 48 first. CVAC and Indio were planning to invest $861,575 in a bike lane project along the route. That project has been put on hold as we look at this application. And there is also funding committed to a bike and pedestrian improvement as part of the widening project between Van Buren and Dillon. Those improvements are funded by CVAC, the City of Coachella, and Riverside County, totaling $985,000. In Desert Hot Springs, there's committed funding along Palm Drive. That's the highest rank, this was the highest ranked project in the 2017 Bike and Pedestrian Safety Program. CVAC approved $2 million for improvements there, and the city has committed close to $800,000. So hypothetically, if we were just to use what's already been authorized, we'd be able to submit applications that were close to $15 million in Desert Hot Springs and close to $10 million in Avenue 48. However, and still get the maximum leveraging points. However, considering the size and scopes of these projects, especially Avenue 48, we anticipate that the costs may exceed that. So the recommended action would allow CVAC to use additional funding, split 75-25 from our members, to reach the dollar figure needed to get the maximum points. This allocation is conditioned on successfully securing the grant funds, and we report back our final figures to the committee once our total project cost is known. Lastly, I just point out that Avenue 48 and the Desert Hot Springs active transportation projects are tied to our TPPS and are therefore eligible for regional transportation funding, and we do have funding available to provide the project cost match. So with that, the recommendation that is before you, authorizing that previously approved transportation CVAC transportation funds be used as a funding match for the ATP Cycle 4 grant applications for both projects, and that additional funding be authorized to maximize our leveraging points. With that, I'm happy to address any questions.
When you're doing these applications and you're working with the other cities, are you actually putting their name, are they actually co-signing the application, or is that coming strictly from CVAC?
Desert Hot Springs is likely to be the lead agency on their project. Avenue 48, because it's a regional project, we did talk to the CTC, they suggested that CVAC would be the more appropriate lead agency. We're working in close conjunction with all three cities, and I anticipate them to be co-applicants or co-signers on that.
Okay, and then is that window still open for participation? I'm probably focusing a little off it, but on a project that would link to it, parking lot, yeah, trailhead that we've been talking about, and some street improvements to get to it.
John, if you've got this goes for any of the cities, if you've got a project that you're going to submit and don't have matching funds already committed, why don't we talk about it? There may be funding already committed as a part of a CVAC project. And if not, we could even modify the recommendation in some way before the executive committee meeting. Palm Desert has some potential projects as well. One of the things we looked around the region for are projects that are likely to score well. And for those that have gotten ATP dollars, whether it's in Paquita or Coachella or anywhere else, you know that disadvantaged communities are about the only ones that score very well. There are a lot of points that go into disadvantaged communities. Frank and his team targeted some improvements in Old Town that did well because that census tract is relatively low income. So I encourage anybody that's looking and needs some CVAG technical support or financial commitments, if you do so in the next few days, really before we take this to the executive committee. Notably, this commitment is a conditional one. What we're saying is we're putting up the money if we get the money. And so I think it's an easy investment for CVAG, presumably an easy investment for each of the participating cities to do the same.
Was the transportation committee decision unanimous?
I think there was one abstention. I believe the city of Rancho Mirage abstained.
Yeah, I think Rancho Mirage abstained. I believe your representative voted in favor.
Yes.
All right, is there any other questions or a motion?
Motion.
Thank you, Bill.
Second.
Frank? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes unanimously.
No, wait, just as a follow-up to those cities, four cities that we're currently working with on this, we'll figure it out. You might also need to take some sort of action for your 25% share of that remaining cost. And Eric will be in contact with you and your staff on what form that should take so we can get it into the application.
Thank you.
Okay, the TUMP handbook.
I'm Eric Calvadini.
Hey, Eric.
Good morning, everyone. The item before you is the TUMP handbook. If you recall, the executive committee approved the next study in April of this year, and that set the trip rate. That trip rate went up to $245 per trip. Prior to that, it was $192, and updated it for over 10 years. Part of the handbook, if you recall, there was land use and going through the committee, subcommittee, we consolidated the land use categories. We now have basically 12 categories, 10 categories and 2 subcategories. And there's an inflation factor. We've been talking about the inflation factor. It was in the next study. It was evaluated in the next study. We put it in the staff report, but I'm sorry that it didn't get put into the handbook. So I want to tell you that we're working with the attorney and warden to put in the inflation factor. It would be the same one that we're using for the local development mitigation plan with the multi-species plan. And we'll also be working with the DBA and the BIA. They were supportive of the CPI, but they also wanted that be reviewed annually by the executive committee. So we'll include wording in the handbook to reflect the inflation factor, but we'll have it also required that it be reviewed by the executive committee, and they will determine whether or not to implement or apply the inflation factor. The ITE manual, the trip generation manuals, will be used to set the fees. So the Nexus sets the trip rate, and the ITE manual sets the fees. In discussions also, again, with DBBA, we currently have a $500 administrative fee for an appeal. Somebody files an appeal that hasn't been in effect since 2009. We haven't updated that. And so in discussions with DBBA, we agreed that if the applicant wanted an appeal, or if there were an appeal run, it would be refunded back, that $500. Again, just a rundown of the land uses under residential, single-family, multifamily, mobile homes, nursing, congregate care, low-income, which we kept that exemption, and then transit-oriented development. For non-residential, we had industrial, and I will point out in the transportation committee, we did talk about greenhouses, that they would be added as part of the TUMP handbook, and so we made that application and added greenhouses under industrial as a ag use. We have office, golf course, hotel, and retail, and under retail we have the fuel dispensers as a subcategory. Again, the DBA, they pointed out some concerns. We'll be meeting with them this week to address their concerns. They didn't want to hold up this process, and so we agreed that we would just work through their items that they provided in this letter. And with that, the transportation committee concurred at the last meeting, and staff was going to approve of the 2018 town council.
Are there any questions for Martin?
Real quick, is that going to affect immediately?
No, it will go into effect once each city, of course, approves the new ordinance. We put a date of November 1st for this to occur, given summer schedule and everything else.
Okay.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Thank you, Frank.
Second.
Second by John. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously to approve the TUMP handbook. Now for the model ordinance.
Thank you. This is the model ordinance now. If you recall, there were some changes to the ordinance. Again, low-income housing is the only exemption that we've allowed. All the other exemptions have been taken out. There are a few land use categories. Only projects of 7.5 or higher would qualify. If you recall, when we went through this process with subcommittee, we cut out a lot of projects in order to bring that cost per trip down, and it resulted in the 7.5 was the line that we determined that that would be the point to qualify and projects for funding. Again, the $500 appeal would be refundable if the appeal was won by the applicant. And I do want to make one quick, it was brought to my attention by Tom. In the recital, under the first recital, we put Aqua Caliente Band, it should be Aqua. I'm sorry, Tom. I like Aqua, I don't know, but.
Spanish, and that's still.
So with that, we have a target date of November 1st for the ordinance to go into effect. As Tom said, you know, with the summer break, and hopefully people can introduce this ordinance in September for the first reading, for the second reading, and then 30 days after that, it goes into effect. So we're reading for November 1st. Transportation committee concurs, so with that, that concludes the staff report. We look forward to it.
Any questions?
I have a question, just, I realize I never thought about it before. The exemption for affordable housing or for low-income housing, do you have to have a certain percentage of your units or a certain number of units? Because typically, we see that our affordable housing projects will have 20% affordable.
No.
So just a single unit would qualify you for an exemption?
Yeah, just to clarify, let's say you had a 100-unit project, 20 were affordable, those 20 units would be exempt, not the entire project.
So, okay, all right. That answers my question. Thanks.
Sure.
Same for multifamily and single family?
Yes.
So it comes down to answering or getting the answer. If there was one unit in there, that one unit would
yes.
be one.
Correct. Okay.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Thank you, Lori. Second?
Second.
Bill? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. The model ordinance is unanimously passed. And now we're on to Madison Street Improvement Project. Eric?
Yes, Madison Street Improvement Project. You recall this. I'll show you the location of this. This was the original project. It was from India Boulevard, Madison Street from India Boulevard down to Avenue 52. That was approved in 2007. It was in the tune of a little over $34 million for that entire segment. And then in 2009, there was an amendment that added a mile stretch from Avenue 52. And that ended up raising the total project cost to about a little under $37.5 million. I'm sorry. 2009 was Amendment 1. Which is this one that added that. And then in 2010, there was amendment number 2, where we de-obligated a little over $18 million, where after consideration of the cost of building the bridge across the canal and the Whitewater River here, it was too costly, so that was taken out. Now we're just into really amendment number 3, which includes doing the improvements between Avenue 58 and 52, and between Highway 111 and Avenue 48. The total amount being a little $5.5 million, $5,527,894. Indio has gotten some updated, the last time we did this assessment was 2007, so today's the numbers have increased, obviously, over the years. And there were some other additional items that were not part of the original agreement, which dealt with utility relocation and right-of-way costs. So the total amount now being requested is $5,527,294. So staff recommendation is to approve number three, amendment number three, to the reimbursement agreement with City of Indio for master street improvement funds, adding an additional not to exceed amount of $5,527,294 to the AMC Rex total share of $24,204,794. Transportation committee concurred at the last meeting. Staff looks forward to your approval. Thank you, my staff.
Any questions? Is there a motion?
Motion.
Thank you, Bill.
Second.
Tom, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously to approve Madison Street Improvement Project. Now we're on to information items. Anything you want to call to our attention, Mr. Kirk?
Certainly the General Assembly. We encourage all of you to attend. It will be at the Aqua or Agua Caliente. It's hard for me to remember. Along Bob Hope at Ranch Mirage, and we should have a pretty interesting discussion involving KPMG's study of public safety costs, particularly in the county, the efficiencies, etc. And many of you are contract cities, I think you'll find that conversation engaging. That's it.
Is it only the KPMG and the CEO's office, or is the sheriff going to have something to say about it too?
I'm sure the sheriff, if he's there, will have something to say about it. Our chairman this year is Marion Ashley, and he wanted KPMG to have something to say and have it said to all of you. So
awesome. Yeah. Has everybody already had the presentation at your city? No.
So we'd have to you?
Yes. By both sides. How about Aaron, legislative issues? Where's your sidekick, AJ?
I don't know. Good question. All right. I don't know where he is. But I'm here, so you get me. You might have seen on the news over the weekend that there was a budget agreement made. A lot of it was done late at night. We don't have language yet, so I know once we get it, can analyze it, we'll send it out to all of you, hopefully in the next day or so. I do know there was one item in it that came up last minute on Friday. It's in one of the trailer bills, I don't know which one, but basically if you contract out for your library services, you will no longer be able to do that. From my understanding, they did end up getting the votes. Senator Roth, who's from Riverside County, was one of our critical votes, and he did support that, yes.
I was gonna say, we contract the county library for us.
From, like I said, I don't have actual written language. This was all
that's interesting.
Friday, but from my understanding, that was something that they threw in last minute, so I know that's not really good. And it sets a bad precedent. It really goes back to a lot of the previous contracting bills that we've been opposing. Once they get their foot in the door, you know, they'll probably try to come after other services. So very concerning on that. On a positive note with the budget, there had been money set aside for homelessness programs. I'm assuming that there'll probably be some money. I just don't know how much or what the requirements will be for that yet. So stay tuned with that. Another bad item that could be in it, we just don't know. There was a bill that did die that would require cities to allow for cannabis deliveries. There was a concern that they would add that to a trailer bill. I don't know yet either. Hopefully not, but we'll see. AB 1912, the JPA pension bill, I know that you sent letters already. That is pretty much flying through the legislature. We are really having an uphill battle with it. It's being heard today. I know Dane, our lobbyist for this area, plans to testify, but we're hoping to have some success in the Senate, or at least the governor we'll veto it. I think that's pretty much where I would recommend your efforts go at this point, is to send in letters to the governor's office. Unfortunately, AB 2268, which was our inhabited annexation bill, this goes back to 2011, when we lost funding for the four new cities. Some of you lost funding for those areas that you had inhabited annexations. I think Indio was the largest one in this area, but a couple of you, I think Laquinta, I think you had some funding. That bill did not make it this year. We tried several times to get the funding restored. Hopefully, maybe with the new governor, we'll have some better luck. But like I said, unfortunately, that one didn't make it. SB 831, which has to do with accessory dwelling units. I know I've talked about this one in the past. It was slightly amended recently, but basically anywhere that you have a lot that allows for construction on a home, they would be allowed to add an accessory dwelling unit, but cities won't be allowed to do connection fees, impact fee, or yeah, connection fees, impact fees, or really any other fee. So if you haven't sent an opposition letter, I recommend that you do so, because it is also moving pretty quickly through the legislature. It's in the assembly now. And then another one that I know we've discussed is SB 828. This was also amended, but this would require you to meet 125% of your arena numbers, or your housing elements won't be certified. And if the housing bond that will be on the November ballot passes, you won't qualify for those funds if you don't meet that 125. It was 200, so it's slightly improved, but we understand that 125 is not a reasonable number.
That's 828?
828. SB 828. This week we have a U.S. Communities Lunch and Learn. I think several of your cities probably already use them, but it helps you with savings with various purchasing requirements. Eastville is hosting a Lunch and Learn. I've sent out the flyer, but I'm happy to send it again if you want to send any of your staff to that the 14th this week. And our executive forum in Monterey is coming up at the end of the month. I know a lot of you have city officials going, so I know they'll be up there for a few days. And then our next division meeting is July 21st in Eastville. It's not our typical day, so just want to make sure that we get that out. I'm sure we'll have a flyer soon. We usually meet the second Monday of every other month. This one will be a little bit later. So our manager meeting will be earlier and a different day than normal. So it'll have to be 3:30. We have a baseball game that we're doing with the game that night, so I'll send it off. But it's not our typical schedule.
Is the manager's meeting still in Eastville?
This will be Lake Elsinore. Yeah, Lake Elsinore. 3:30. Happy to take any questions. Oh, just another update, since we had the election last week. Prop 68, the water parks bond that we supported, did pass. Prop 69, which protects the transportation funds, we also supported that, did pass. And then Prop 72, which had the rainwater capture, also passed. So at least we had some successes in June. Now we have to focus on November, where it looks like we'll have the SB1 repeal and that lovely CBRT tax measure. It looks like they're both going to qualify. So, and then the housing bond will also be on the November ballot. But it's going to be very difficult, I think, for the November ballot for us. Thank you for having me. Really
helpful. Questions?
How much money in the housing bond?
It was a $3 billion bond.
And just one thing to add, very much related to the discussions at the budget, with the budget subcommittee at CVAC, on the JPA pension liability bill, just to note, our pension liabilities are relatively modest at CVAC. However, the budget subcommittee, Gary and I, have talked about bringing that forward next year's budget, whether we want to pay that debt down at CVAC over some period of time. So during the next budget cycle, we'll certainly have some conversations about that.
Good. All right, thank you, Erin. With that, I think we're adjourned until September 10th at 11 o'clock. Thank you.
Thank you, Wade.
Nice summer.
For stepping in.